Good morning and greetings to each one here in Jesus' worthy name. And it's good to see you all here. And it is that same risen Lord and Savior who left us with these words in John 14 where he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may all be also." I'm not sure what comes to your mind when you think about heaven and what that all looks like. We have questions of what it's going to appear, what's going to be there, who's going to be there, how will we know, all these things. And there's so many questions, and yet we do have a few answers we're going to look at. But heaven carries a different meaning for each of us. For some of you sitting here this morning, you have parents in heaven. You have children in heaven. You have siblings in heaven. You have close friends in heaven. And others like myself have not felt that tug quite so close as maybe you have. And so heaven means something to each of us a little bit differently. And the general tendency, at least for myself, is to view heaven as a distant reality. We understand it's there. We believe it's there. We believe what the Bible says about it. But yet it's there. And so we struggle to connect our day-to-day schedules, our day-to-day routines, our day-to-day responsibilities with the reality of heaven. And there's that disconnect. And so the question is, has heaven impacted your life this past week? Will it impact your life this coming week? Is the reality of heaven something that is on your mind and is impacting your life? This morning I want to instill in us an anticipation for heaven that will then motivate us as we live our life here on earth. Titled the sermon this morning, Heaven Now and Future. And those are also the main points, heaven future and heaven present. What will heaven be like? God has given us some answers, and we know that heaven is a place, as I quoted from John, from Jesus there in John 14. Heaven is not simply a condition of the soul, a place that we will one day experience as a spirit. It's an actual place. It's a place that Jesus is working on right now. It's the eternal dwelling place of the Most High God for all eternity. The place where God and all the angels and His saints will forever live together. But it's not just any place. Turn with me to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 gives us some clues about what this place is. Talking about what heaven will be like. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, the prophet writes, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Heaven is a high place. It is above all other places. And I'm sure all of you can think of a place that you've been to where that is like the most beautiful place to you. And yet heaven is just so far beyond that, so much grander and so more majestic than anything we can ever imagine. It is a high place. It's also a holy place because the one who is called holy lives there. And if you're in Isaiah, flip back to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to read a few verses about the holiness of God. The first four verses in Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." The seraphims, the holy creatures that were designed to worship and inhabit the very presence of God, cover their face and their feet when they are in the presence of the Most High God. And if we are going to be one day in heaven, we're going to have to be holy as He is holy. That's our calling. As Christians, as believers who are desiring and journeying towards heaven, we need to be holy as He is holy. Heaven is pure. And sometimes it helps when we talk about heaven to think of things that are not there. And so turn with me to Revelation 21. Thinking about the purity and of heaven. And some people and things that will not be in heaven. Talk about the holiness of God and holy people being there. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Heaven will be without all of those. The fearful, the unbelieving. And there's other lists in Scripture that we could turn to. Heaven's going to be absent from all of that. Absent from all ungodliness, from all impurities. Heaven is pure. And as we live our lives surrounded in a society that is so evil and wicked, it's hard to imagine the purity of heaven. Just how pure and holy it's going to be. When one day we will be away and we will be protected and from all the danger and the corruption and the immorality among us in heaven with God. Heaven is also a place that is full of glory. Revelation 4 is John's attempt to describe to us the throne room of heaven. So follow along or just listen as I read as John tries to put this into words. Revelation 4, I'm going to jump in at verse 3. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying angel. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created." Humans do not have words to describe the presence of God. And the glory that's going to be radiating from that throne as we stand before and with the saints of all ages worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we heard from Jesus already in John 14, it's a place of many mansions. And the question is not, did Jesus go to prepare a mansion for me, but are you ready for when He comes to call you to your mansion? It's also a place, heaven is, where there are pleasures forevermore. And we live in a society that is so driven by pleasure. More thrills, more happiness, more excitement. It's always more and more and more. And yet, never satisfies the desire inside of pleasure. And the pleasures that are seemingly found are so fleeting, so temporary, and just gone. And yet, 1 Peter tells us that through Jesus Christ and belief in Him, we can rejoice and be full of glory now. Right now we can have that. Full of glory. Lasting glory. And if that's in this life, how much more in the life to come? As we worship our God forever. The psalmist in Psalm 16:11 writes, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And just try to imagine the pleasure and the glory of being in the presence of our Savior for all eternity, enjoying Him and all that He has prepared for us. Heaven is a place. It's a real place. It's a place of mansions and glory beyond our comprehension. And yet, if we're going to get to that place of heaven, there's only one way. And that way is Jesus Christ. He has provided the only bridge through which mortal, sinful man can reach a holy and eternal God. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, speaking of the way to heaven, He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." If we're going to come to God, we need to be stripped of everything that we have. Come to Him on His terms, accept His conditions of salvation, and be committed to Him. And the narrow way is lined on both sides with truth. And if we know the truth, it will set us free. But we need to stay there. The narrow way is too narrow to have anything that's contrary to God. And yet, it's broad enough for all that will walk thereon. There is always room for more. But it requires us to die to ourselves, die to our sin nature, to take up our cross daily and follow Him. And the beginning of that journey, the decision to go in at that straight gate and follow the narrow way, is just the beginning of the journey. It's not the end. The end is our heaven, is our home. And the way to heaven is filled with holiness and righteousness. We talked about the purity. We talked about the holiness of heaven. Well, the way to heaven is no different. Heaven, the way to heaven, and for those who want to go there, is a way of holiness and purity. And abiding in Jesus is not something we're going to do for all eternity, which we will, but it happens right here, right now. And a personal relationship with Jesus is not something that's only obtainable in heaven. It is needed and necessary right now. Heaven begins right here and right now. And the walk that we live, you know, every single day must be worthy of Jesus Christ, must be blameless, uplifting, holy, as we seek to honor our King, fruitful in every good work, and growing ever and ever closer. And one day, we will reach those gates of heaven and our King. And all that heaven is, it just seems so surreal, such like a fictionary place. When we think of the golden roads that are so pure, they're clear. We think of the 12 pearly gates and the foundations that are embedded with precious jewels. We think of the pure river of life, the tree of life and the fruit, and the peace and the rest and the happiness, the joy that we can experience there forevermore. Free from all pain, free from all illness, free from all everything. And yet, we don't experience that now. And there's a disconnect from the life that we live now and the reality of heaven. A.W. Tozer said, "When the eyes of the soul looking out, reach the eyes of God looking in, heaven begins right here." When we, through eyes of faith, look away from ourselves and we look to Jesus Christ, and when His eyes of compassion and mercy look down and they meet ours, heaven has begun right here. And a little foretaste of heaven right here. Hebrews 11, often called the faith chapter, opens with the common verse, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And that's the eyes of faith that we have. It's the full assurance and confirmation that we cannot see, which is heaven. And through faith, we know for sure that heaven is real. And faith is the conviction of things that we cannot see and we cannot prove physically, and yet we know they exist. And in so many ways, that is heaven. And we have so many questions about what heaven will look like, what it will be, what will be there, who will be there. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about seeing through a glass darkly. We don't see the full picture right now. And we have so many questions. but we have eyes of faith. And from our eyes of faith, we get a glimpse of heaven. As we fix our eyes on the prize, as Paul talks about in Philippians 3. Forgetting those things which are behind, he says, I reach forward. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. That prize is heaven. He's saying, those things which are behind me, I don't look on them. What I do is I look to Jesus Christ and the prize of heaven that is waiting for me someday. Because I know that we can have it. And so by looking forward, by looking to heaven and something that is to come, we create in us a longing for what we reach towards, and that's heaven. A heavenly longing, I believe, is necessary for the life of a Christian. It's important for our day-to-day lives to have that longing, that anticipation, to remember that this world and its sufferings are not our home. It's just a place through which to pass through as we go home. And so what are we looking for? Are we looking forward to the mansions that are waiting? Are we looking forward to the sights that we'll behold, the streets, the pearly gates? The Booth brothers sing a song, and the one verse in the chorus, they say this, speaking of heaven, there are jasper walls, a crystal river, and mansions fair. Oh, the sights that we'll behold are far beyond compare. And all the beauty and the splendor that these eyes will see could never make it heaven for me. Oh, it's Jesus that makes it heaven. Not the gates of pearl or streets of gold. Oh, it's Jesus that makes it heaven. And He's the reason I'm longing now to go. It's Jesus. Yes, heaven contains beauty beyond what our imagination is able to think of. And yet it's Jesus. And if you're not longing for a day when we would be reunited with Jesus for all eternity, if that's not a longing in your soul right now, I don't know if you are longing and experiencing Him right now here on earth. Because whatever you're going to experience for all eternity begins right now. As you look forward to worshiping your Savior for all eternity, you're going to worship Him right now. It begins right here. And then for all eternity will just be a continuation of what we're already doing. Worshiping and glorifying our Savior in heaven. How does that longing and that anticipation come? How do we create that longing inside of us? I believe it begins by reading Revelation 4, the throne room of heaven. Read it often. Get that longing. Revelation 22, 21, and there's other passages that speak of heaven. Read them. I believe there's a watching and a waiting. We are called frequently in the New Testament to watch and wait. The parable of the 10 virgins. 5 are ready, 5 were not. We are called to be like those that were waiting, watching, ready to go. They were praying. It involves us being intentional. We don't just go through our life and, oh yeah, I'm watching. It requires us to be intentional about what we are doing. Knowing the signs of the times, not going through life with our head in the sands, but understanding what's happening around us. And another way that I personally create that longing is I have a playlist of heaven songs on my music app, and I listen to them every now and then. Just all songs about heaven. And just have that in the forefront of our mind creates that longing and a desire for our heavenly home. Another key point is other people. There was an elderly man at church who is currently enjoying his heavenly home. But he would instill in me that vision that he had for heaven. And maybe it was the physical limitations and the illnesses that he had to go through in life. But his longing for heaven was just so evident. He talked about it. And in a younger guy like myself, I felt that. And it helped me. We all need to be reminded. We all need that encouragement to think and talk about heaven. Dream of heaven. Your wildest dreams, I believe, will pale in comparison of what heaven will actually be like. And I believe it's this longing for heaven, this longing for our eternal home, that will then in return create a motivation for us to live as we ought to right now.
If we have a longing for heaven, all of our conduct will be conducted with that in mind. The conversations we have, the people we hang out with, etc. When we do that with the reality of heaven in our mind, everything is done in light of eternity. The jobs that we choose to do, our lifestyles that we live, all of it is a motivating factor for us because of heaven being our home. And we have hope. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But praise God, we don't have hope just in this life. We have hope in the one to come." And we have that hope. Not a hope where I hope it rains or I hope it snows. It's an assurance. It's a knowing of that it will come to pass. That my hope is in Jesus Christ. And in the reality of heaven. And as Christians here, we all headed home. This world is not our home. This is not our resting place. We are going somewhere else. And so as we live here, we live intentionally in light of heaven. We live with that hope. We live with the joy now because of what's to come. We live with peace now because we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ right now. And that peace is evident. We live with love towards one another because of the love that Jesus has shown us. And because we are on our way home. And I believe that as we long for heaven, as we long to be with Jesus, that will motivate us as we live our life here. And I believe this is the connection point. As we think about connecting the reality of heaven that is so distant to our current life and our day-to-day routine schedules and responsibilities and duties that we have, it's that longing that we have to be with Jesus. It's that longing for heaven that motivates us to live our lives as we are supposed to live that connects heaven future with heaven present. Remember that quote from Tozer earlier? When the eyes of the soul looking out meet the eyes of God looking in, heaven begins right here, right now. And yes, it's only a shadow of heaven. It's a foretaste, but yet we can have it. And this requires us to be intentional, to turn our eyes off of ourselves. But it's that turning, that conscious look heavenward that allows us to do as the Bible tells us. The New Testament is full of commands like, set your affections on things above. You can't do that if your eyes are on things on earth. Mind the things of the Spirit. Well, you can't mind the things of the Spirit if you're only looking at things on earth. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As we turn our eyes heavenward, we take our eyes off the cares of this world, we take our eyes off the struggles that we are in, and we look to Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Shepherd and our Friend, who provides us with the comfort that we need, the peace that we need, the joy that we need right here. And as that physical turning of the eyes off of ourselves and onto Jesus happens, all that this world has to offer becomes so unappealing. And we look to heaven. We loosen our grip on earth and the things that it wants to give as we set our affection on things above. In conclusion, heaven is our home. We're going there. And if you're worshiping and serving the Lord here, that's your home. That's your future. And it's full of splendor and glory beyond all our imagination. And yet, it seems so surreal. It's hard to live with the reality of heaven in our present state. And that's the disconnect that I've been talking about, and that's been bothering me in my life. That disconnect where, yes, I believe heaven exists. I believe what the Bible says about heaven, but yet, it's not, doesn't affect my life now. And that's what I want. I want my life to be connected to the reality of heaven. And again, I believe that happens as we create a longing for heaven, a longing for worshiping the presence of Jesus for all eternity. That longing will motivate us to live our life here, right now. And as those two come together, the longing and the motivation, I believe heaven can be experienced right here on earth. And so this morning I wanted to instill in us an anticipation for heaven that will motivate us as we live our lives for Him. And I want heaven to be very real in our lives. Again, heaven means different things for different people because of the experiences that you've been through. But yet I want it to be present. I want us to have heaven in our mind as we make decisions as we go throughout our life. And I talked about heaven right now only being a shadow of what's to come. We get a small taste. As we live and we abide in Jesus, we get the peace and the comfort that He gives while also experiencing life and its struggles and its pain and its loss. But it's a little bit of heaven right here on earth. Heaven is real, and we have to believe that through eyes of faith. And our longing for heaven motivates us for a journey that we are on right now, tomorrow, the rest of your week, month, etc. And I pray that all of our lives will be motivated to live lives that are worthy of Jesus Christ until one day we can stand before that judgment throne and be ushered into our mansion. Let's pray. Father God, as we bow before You this morning, with heaven on the forefront of our minds, and Lord, we say thank You for what's to come, but also we recognize that it's hard to imagine what heaven is going to be like as we live our lives here on earth. With all its troubles and issues and struggles, it's hard to connect all that You are preparing for us now with what is happening to us currently. And Father, as we go throughout our lives, would You instill in us a longing to be with You, a longing to sit at Your feet for all eternity and to worship You for all that You are and for all that You have done. And Father, would that motivate us to live lives worthy, to live lives that are upright and blameless right here on earth, right now, so that one day we can stand before Your throne as adopted sons and daughters of You and to live in Your presence for all eternity. Father, would we be worthy of that someday? Go with us now. May we honor and glorify You with all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.